May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, O Lord. Amen. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Thus the words for our meditation today. So what do you know about water? Did you know that its chemical formula was H2O? That's a covalent bond of two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. Did you know that water in a solid state is lighter than it is when it's liquid? Did you know water is essential for the human body? Without it, we would not have the biochemical processes that our body does every day. Did you know that your brain is 90% water? Did you know that water is essential for all living organisms? And without water, typically people die in 3 to 4 days. Now, Jesus and his apostles, as we heard earlier, were traveling towards Jerusalem. And they were going through Samaria, which is a desert kind of desolate area in the northern part of Israel. And the text states that he had left Judea and departed for Galilee. He's on his way to the cross. Instead of taking that traditional route along the Jordan Valley, he journeyed into the heart of Samaria, a place where the gospel was needed. It was about noontime, and the sun was straight overhead, and it was really the heat of the day. And after walking along this rugged terrain, trudging along, he came to a little city. And these cities were not friendly to Jews either at that time because there was animosity. And it was outside of this temple town called Sychar, which is there today. Not an ordinary well. It was Jacob's well. The well of Jacob, the shaft went straight down about 100 feet into a stream of what they called living water. The Greek word for living water is hydrozon, and it refers to water that's gushing, that's flowing, and it really symbolizes refreshment and vitality. In biblical context, it's often used figuratively to describe the spirit and truth of God, which satisfies the needs and desires of our soul. Now, living water is much different from well water. Well water, you have to work for. You have to pump the pump, you have to pull up the bucket, you have to get it, you have to work for it. But living water comes to you in a refreshing stream. You don't work for it, you receive it. The same as you receive salvation from Jesus. You don't get it, it comes to you, washing you, refreshing you, and cleansing you in a flood of salvation. Well water requires a bucket. Living water requires faith. Faith and trust that Jesus will supply that living water when all your efforts have become bone dry. Now we see in our text some of Jesus' humanity. He speaks that he was weary. We all get weary from a journey. And while sitting there all alone, because his disciples had gone off to buy some food or in the nearby city, get something to eat for everybody, a woman of Samaria approaches the well to draw water. You have to really understand that this is kind of a different situation. It's not according to tradition. You know, Jewish men were not allowed to give any attention or engage in conversation with Samaritan men, or especially women. Now, as she comes to the well, in her world, she thinks, this man's not even going to notice me. He'll never say anything to me. He won't even know that I'm here. And as our scriptures say, the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. But to her surprise, Jesus says what? Give me a drink.
backtrack a little bit. The reason why the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans can be traced back to a division of the kingdoms after Solomon died around 930 BC. When the kingdom was split, the northern kingdom retained the name of Israel, but the south kingdom became Judea, with Jerusalem as its capital. The woman standing before Jesus in this morning's text is an outcast. And you know how we know that? Because typically, if you have women in the village to go get water, they go early in the morning before it's hot and late in the evening before it's hot, out of the heat of the day, and they go in groups for protection. Here this woman comes by herself at the heat of the day, in the middle of the day, and she's journeying all alone just to get the water. Now, we can make her an easy target, kind of low-hanging fruit for moralistic fruit pickers in her town, and she was. She was an easy target for them. Five marriages, and now living with number six. The rabbis and the rest of the community have more or less written her off, said that she was evil. She lacked morality. And they were pretty quick to judge and make assumptions and to condemn her, because that's what religious people do best. Due to circumstances and personal decisions that she had made during her life, she was alienated from the community. She was there to work, to draw water from the well, and other little services like that. But Jesus was there to draw her to that eternal fountain of water, of life, where her thirst would be satisfied forever. With the request for water, her response is, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Now, curiously here, and you'll note, that Jesus doesn't chide her or condemn her or say so much as a discouraging word. Oh, now he mentions her long marital rap sheet, you know, which was probably not her fault anyway, because perhaps somebody died and they got to be married, and with the laws of the time, she might not have been able to do any more than she's supposed to do, because if you became widowed, you were supposed to remarry. But Jesus telling her of her faults was kind of like a little divine tell, if you will. Kind of like telling her the contents of her bank account, even though he didn't know she had a bank or where it was at, or safety box even. And she takes note of this immediately. And she says, "I perceive that you are a prophet." Indeed he is, and so much more. But her rather colorful, if not checkered, past is only a stepping stone to Jesus' revelation to who he is. "I am in the flesh," in no uncertain terms. No one in Israel, certainly not the Pharisees, got this straight declaration from Jesus. And that, to me, is impressive too. Jesus himself reveals himself as the source of living water, the true mountain of worship, where true worshipers are together. The great "I am" in the flesh to a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well at high noon. Now, this woman was dead in her trespasses and sins. She was an enemy of God. There was nothing that she could do on her own to merit this free gift of living water that Jesus just put before her. Jesus wanted this woman to drink and to become satisfied. And he continues, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So she realizes now that Jesus is different. And instead of being defensive, she pulls out, she starts asking, as Dr. Martin Luther's question, "What does this mean, sir?" And she says, "You have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it from itself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus is drawing her to the place where the gift can be given. Jesus reveals to her the truth. Jesus turns her eyes from the well, the water that is in the well, unto himself. And he says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. And whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now the woman immediately sees the benefits of this water that's offered. Two things: it's free and it's eternal. And when the conversation started with Jesus saying, give me a drink, the woman is now saying, sir, give me this water. Jesus continues to draw her in by revealing her brokenness. Go call your husband and come here, he says. She confesses her sins. She reveals her uncomfortableness in his presence. And the situation, suffice to say, there's a lot going on here. But the one thing that's not really going on here is a discussion about marriages, divorces, remarriage, and shacking up. That's only really incidental to the story. She tries to create a little diversion here to get the onus off herself. And she mentions worship locations. Because God says, you'll find me where I say I'm at. She creates this division by saying, saying that the hours that they worship on one place and the Jews worship on another. And Jesus says this, the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now from sacred scriptures, commingled among the other false teachings, the Samaritans and the woman states, I know the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Now is the time to give her the gift. And that's what Jesus does. He speaks into this woman's ear. I, who speak to you, am he. And with the I am verbiage of Mount Sinai, the woman is brought to see the whole picture. The brokenness of herself, her sinful life, as well as God's love for her in sending the Savior. And Jesus is he. Now this is the law, and this is the gospel, that Jesus used to transform her life from being spiritually dead in sin to being spiritually alive in Christ. To become one of the community of saints. You and I share her story. For you and I were once in the bondage of sin, unable to free ourselves. Through God's coming to our life, Through Christ, our lives and destinies have been eternally changed. For we now have that spring of water welling up into us for eternal life. Through the waters of holy baptism, we have been saved. We are sustained through one faith. Through the Word of God, His Holy Supper, that satisfies and quenches our thirst. As our story continues, what does this woman do next? She goes into her own town. She repeats Jesus' words. And through her witness, others believed that they were saved. And they too confessed, we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, did the woman have to go back to the well to draw water again? Sure, yes. Did Jesus create a new community of believers? Yes. And each of them will receive that living water of eternal life. Yes, the mystery is solved. The living water, it's all about Jesus. The one greater than Jacob has come to his well to fill it. Washing water becomes wedding wine. Well water becomes living, flowing water in a stream of life that goes on forever. The living water that flowed down from the wounded side of Jesus on the cross to you and in your baptism flows to you daily in his word. This isn't water you work for. This is grace water, free gift water, water that rebirths, cleanses, restores, renews, refreshes. The world worships what they do not know. But you know. You know the grace of God by the Spirit of God that has enlightened you. You know. God has made you worshipers, disciples, those who worship in the true spirit of faith in Jesus. Living water has come to you so that you need never thirst again. The one who has spoken to you is the one who is God in the flesh, the light and the life of all the eternal word, through whom all things were made. You know him and are known by him. And the only thing that you can do is tell everybody else where this living water is found. The woman went into her town and told everybody. The woman who had been avoiding condemning stares and the whispers behind her now couldn't shut up about Jesus. The whole town came out to meet him, and they welcomed him. And he stayed with them 2 more days, as their scripture tells us. Jesus, this friend of Samaritans and tax collectors and misfits of all sorts, is the savior of the world. Not just the respectable and the reputable, the religious, but the world. A world of broken Samaritan women, of confused Pharisees, a society rejects, and royalty, winners and losers, children of Abraham, along with whatever tribe that you belong to in this multicultural morass that we call Samaria or the world in which you and I live in. So stop being timid or shy or quiet. Start proclaiming Jesus. There's a Samaritan woman at a well or a man somewhere that needs to hear it. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.